Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton.
Well, hello, welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything under the sun that relates to you having a happier, healthier relationship with money. My name is Steve Sexton. I want to thank you for joining us. I want to thank you for sharing us with your friends and family and associates. Our over 750,000 listeners, we appreciate you sharing us with everybody. So, but today we've got some really serious stuff. You recently heard about Helena, Milton. It's interesting. We have these disasters all year long. We've had over 1,000 tornadoes just in the month of June alone. We've had 100-year floods in California, New York, Vermont, Pennsylvania, Florida, wildfires in California and other states. Not to mention the senseless death that come from car accidents, murders. Folks, there's a lot of grief, okay? And people are trying to navigate these life changes. We're in luck. We have David Kessler, who's one of the world's foremost experts on grief, loss, navigating life changes. He's written 6 best-selling books, while his first book, The Need of the Dying, received praise from people like Mother Teresa. His advice has been featured on the New York Times, Unlocking Us with Bren Brown, The Today Show, GQ, to name a few. Kessler's experience with thousands of people on the edge of life and death have taught him the secrets of living a fulfilled life. And even after life's tragedies, David has this wonderful new workbook and its tools for releasing pain and remembering with love. I think it's just something that we all need to experience. So, David, welcome to the show. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. You know, it's interesting. People often don't think of the intersection of grief and money, but it intersects in so many different places, in so many different ways. So I'm really thrilled to be talking with you about all of these aspects.
I'll just say this. The outpouring of people asking for a segment like this was just so significant. We're just grateful that you're able to fit us into your schedule. Let's just start with your own experience and how you learned to deal with that. Let's walk through your first book a little bit. And then let's talk about things that are in that workbook, like the self-reflective journaling, how to release pain and things like that, because I have a sister who lost her husband a year ago, and you're seeing this stuff on Facebook, but I know she's still not through it. Doing what I do, I deal with a lot of people passing away every single year, and when I see their spouses and stuff like that, and you can see they've masked it in something else but haven't dealt with it, and you know they're still in a lot of pain. It's just great that you're here, and why don't we go ahead and get started?
All right. So I had a childhood that's very much sort of reflected in the tragedies of today. When I was 9 years old, we lived on the coast down south, and we had our home destroyed by the hurricane. At a very young age, I learned something that, like, people shouldn't have to learn at such a young age, which was, by the way, if your house is underwater in a storm, your insurance most likely is not going to cover it. Just because many times flood, disasters, water damage, a lot of times people don't realize those are either exclusions or add-ons you have to have. So I learned so young that we lost our house, my father lost his business, and I saw not only the devastation emotionally of the loss from a hurricane to someone's lives and a family's, but also the financial devastation that came with that. A few years later, after trying our best to rebuild our world, I had a mother who was ill in and out of hospitals. She was transferred to a hospital in the big city. We went to the hotel across the street, which my father couldn't always afford. And at that point, someone one day at the hotel across the street started yelling fire. Everyone ran out. Fire was on the 18th floor. When the fire trucks pulled up, a shooting started.
Oh, geez.
realize this is not just a fire, it's an active shooter. At a very young age, I saw first responders, police officers, people die showing up to do their job. And it was devastating, went on for hours. It turned out to be one of the first mass shootings in the US. And from there, a couple of days later, my mother died in the hospital and died alone. We weren't even able to see her in the ICU. So talk about a childhood that either I was going to come out of completely broken or luckily go on to find some healing myself. And I'll tell you, there's things just talking about money that I got to tell you, I heard my father on the phone saying to my mother's aunt, he didn't have money to bury her. I mean, I learned early on what it feels like to not know what a life without money is and how challenging that is and to observe that. So I ended up creating a life for myself that I help people now. And you can really see that I'm a product of those days. I've been not only a grief specialist for decades, but I also have been a specialist reserve police officer with my local police department. I am honored to volunteer with them and see that, like, you know, they show up every day and put their lives at risk. And I saw them losing their lives. So that's, you know, no one chooses this, but it sort of chose me. And I've been honored to help people for decades in this space.
I think that's wonderful because there's not enough people helping others get through things. And there's a lot of people dying inside because they're not able to get through things or don't have the tools to get through things. So that's pretty scary. So my big question that everybody has is how do you start dealing with grief of losing somebody?
Well, the problem is we live in a grief illiterate world. I often tell people, I'm teaching people what our great grandparents knew how to do. You know, we have a world now that tells you climb every mountain, go to every peak, recover, get over. Here's the three easy steps. And grief is a valley. Grief isn't a peak or a mountaintop. Grief is a valley, and we have to walk through it. And that can be very, very challenging in our modern world to do that. And we don't know how to do it. So that's a lot of the work I do, is just helping people get through the day-to-day things. And by the way, I always talk about, we hear grief and we think death, but I always say it's always a death of something. A breakup is the death of that romantic relationship. A divorce is the death of the marriage. A job loss is the death of that paycheck with those people in that place. There's all kinds of losses we experience in life, and they're all grief. And we don't often know how to just go through it. And I think the biggest thing I would say right off the bat is, Steve, I'm a fixer. Any problem you have, I'll give you three solutions. But when I get to grief, there's no fixing it, mainly because we're not broken. We're in grief. So it's a shift in our thinking from how do we go from doing to being? How do we just be with this grief? Because being with the grief is how it changes.
Hey, I'm going to hold you right there. We got to go to a quick break, folks. This is wonderful. Stick with us. We'll be right back with more Dave Kessler.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show. We're talking about the ins and outs of money and a lot more than that today. Again, I want to thank you for sharing us with your friends and family. All the replays are available, especially this one on savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful information, insight on Saving with Steve, I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel so you never miss a show. A few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, and Las Vegas TV Networks. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, unlift your spirit, and live a life of personal and financial freedom. We're here talking with David Kessler. We're talking about grief, how to deal with it. David, thank you again for being with us on the show. Let's go right back into it. You talked about job loss, but retirement is a form of grief because that part of your life is gone. And then we have a lot of mothers who are, you know what, the kids are off on their jobs and they're not coming home anymore. And they have that separation because their old life is kind of, I want to say, dead from a, you know, an interaction standpoint, because now they have a new life. So there's a lot of different things there. Is that similar to what you're...
Absolutely. I always say grief is a change we didn't want. And sometimes it's part of a bigger change that we know is the right change, like empty nest. We know it's a good thing for our kids to go off and go to school. And as a parent, you miss them. You want them around. Retirement, we dream of it. And sometimes when we get there, we're like, oh, I didn't understand all of this. I didn't know what the lack of a purpose would be, or the check coming in, all those different aspects. So grief shows up in so many different ways in our world.
Yeah. So, yeah, the more and more I look into it, I get the feeling that every time there is a shift in your life that wasn't like that for the last 5 or 10 years, not just a passing of somebody or somebody becoming ill or, you know, those type of things, there is the potential for that grief. You've got to say goodbye to it, so to speak, and then move forward. I don't know if that's correct because you're the expert. I'm just saying that.
Absolutely. I mean, it's interesting. I do work with a lot of large companies, and people will go, well, are you always telling them about grief in the workplace? And I said, sometimes I am, but people don't realize if you're a grief expert, you're also a change expert. So I'm helping people deal with changes. And sometimes that's in mergers and acquisitions. And there's a million different changes that happen in our work, in our personal life. You know, a new company buys your company. Those are changes. So there's a lot of ways that grief, loss, change shows up in our life.
So how do we properly deal with it? And I'm just going to say this. I come from an Irish Catholic family, so it's usually rub some dirt on it, move on. I'm a cancer survivor. One of those things where, you know, my immediate response was, what do I need to do next to move forward? That's all it was. And it wasn't really, hey, you know what, you had this big thing. And it was a few years after that, that some of those stuff actually hit me when I actually got past that, okay, we're going to be okay phase. Let's start with, what do you need to do when you realize you're grieving over something?
Yeah. There's a lot in what you just said there, Steve. So first of all, you know, many times when we're talking about life's changes, like with what you went through, I remind people we all have different styles of grieving. Yours might be the rub dirt on it. You're going to be okay. Get through it. Now, there's a few things to just talk about there. There is a style of grievers out there that I wrote about called practical grievers. And the practical grievers are the people who are like, you go to the funeral, you cry. That's it. You move on. That's what they look like. They don't traffic in any feelings, sort of ever. My family members look at people who either go to therapy or go to grief counseling and go, wait a minute, you're paying someone to talk to you? I'll talk to you for free. I mean, that's the kind of thing a practical griever would say. The rest of us need often to talk about it, to express it, to share it. Then there's the folks who sound like it might be you who are like, I got to get through this. I got to survive it. And once you're past the survival part, then your feelings come up. That's another way we do it. And, you know, I think we live in a world where we want to go, what's the right way? And grief is a time where it's only Steve's way, and there's David's way, and Martha's way, and Susan's way, and everyone does grief differently. Just because, look, we were all raised differently. We all had different families. We all have different religions. Our clergy taught us to do grief differently. So many different ways to do grief.
I'm thinking to myself, well, what's the process then?
Well, it's interesting. That actually brings us to the people who want to sort of work through it. There's a saying that people go now casually, they'll go, oh, you got to do your grief work. And people go, what's my grief work? I need the strategy. I need the techniques. And what that is first of all, I tell people grief work is really any time you spend with your grief, whether it's talking about it, feeling it, going to a group, talking with a friend, reading a book, whatever that looks like. Or the people who are like, I need some structure, David. That is the reason I wrote the workbook. The new workbook is literally like we're sitting at your kitchen table and I'm just explaining techniques to help you feel, help you get through it. So one of the clues to this is we have to feel our feelings. Sounds simple, but it's the hardest thing in the world to do. Here's why. We're the first generation that has the luxury of feelings on feelings. We feel sad and we go, oh, I'm not going to feel sad. Someone's got it worse than me. Or I was taught that's wallowing or self-pity. And you don't feel the feeling and you throw it half-felt behind you. And then you feel angry and you go, oh, anger is inappropriate. I shouldn't feel it. Everyone tells me I shouldn't feel angry. And you throw that behind you. We have all these half-felt feelings that we didn't feel. Now, here's the trick. You feel a feeling fully and it's done. You just move to the next feeling and you're done. Now, grief has...
Let me stop right there. It's not one of those things where if you feel a feeling, it's not one of those things where you have to cry about it, become very emotional. You just have to feel it.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. And here's another thing. So glad you mentioned that. That's interesting. Grief is what's on the inside. Mourning is what we do on the outside. So I could be looking at two people in grief and I can't go, Sarah's crying more than Susan, she has more grief. No, Sarah expresses her mourning with tears, but Susan doesn't. Tears are how some people do it, but not everyone. The problem is some of us that have 500 tears to cry stop at 100 and we tell ourselves no more. And if you got 500 tears to cry, you got to cry them all. So that's one of those things. The other thing is I write about, and I never thought I would do this in my life, Steve. I write about buffalo. I studied buffaloes. Buffaloes, when they sense a storm coming, they run into the storm. And because they run into the storm, they minimize the time they're in pain. Us human beings, on the other hand, we run from pain of grief naturally. Who wants to be in pain? We run from it. And so many of us live with grief 3 feet behind us our whole life, unattended, making our decisions, driving our life, causing our fears, causing our anger, causing our upset. And we don't know it's because we just didn't attend to our feelings.
Wow. Hey, folks, stick with us. We're going to be right back with more Dave Kessler.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show. We're having a wonderful show with David Kessler here. Again, I want to thank you for joining us, sharing us with your friends and family. So David, let's keep going. I'd like to talk a little bit about your workbook at this point and some of the things that people can do, because everybody wants something they could do to learn how to feel something. And I think that's part of our society, because everybody tells us something to do. We've already talked about that, and that's so me too. So
yeah, as we talked before the show, this is what it looks like. And for anyone not watching, maybe just hearing this, it's called Finding Meaning, the workbook, and it's by David Kessler. The reason I'm emphasizing that, Steve and I talked before the show, there's now AI copycats online. You can find the same exact title with a similar cover and not realize it was done by AI. It's not even very good, and it's not by me. So that's why I stress. And people can always go to grief.com or griefbook.com to make sure they get the right one. But, you know, when we talk about this idea of sitting down with a workbook, I want to tell you this first premise. Someone said to me the other day, I bought it, I put it on the shelf, I'm not ready to open it. And I said, thank you for buying it, and I'm curious, tell me more about I'm not ready to open it. And they said, well, let me think about that. And they went, I don't want to go into the pain. So that's why I put it on the shelf. Someday I will. And I said, can I share a little bit about that? And they said, sure. I said, here's the thing. I wish by putting the book on the shelf, you put the pain on the shelf with the book. But the pain isn't actually on the shelf. The pain is in you. And by the way, the book will help you take the pain out of you and put it on paper and help release it. So if you're worried about the pain sticking around too long, use the book to get it out. It's really one of the purposes of the book. The other thing the book teaches is, you may see this in your work, someone's husband dies, it's heartbreaking, they're lonely, they're in pain, they're 50 years old, and they say, I'm so afraid I'm going to live to 90 and have 40 years of pain and loneliness. Here's one of the things our mind does to be aware of, and I talk about this and help people go through this. Your mind takes what you're feeling now and projects it for 40 more years. And I remind people, that's only what you're feeling today. And I tell them this premise, no feeling is final and no feeling is forever. Loneliness is today and pain is today, not forever. And that often helps people immensely to realize, oh, just because I'm feeling this bad today, the grief will change. The pain will change.
I'm thinking that through.
Yeah, because I think many times we get stuck there. Mm-hmm. And I do a lot of things in the workbook. You know, I'm a believer in easy, medium, a little harder. So there's easy things in the workbook. There's things like, there's a checklist on disloyalty. Sometimes living again can feel disloyal and you don't even realize it, but I have a checklist for you to check and go, oh yeah, I guess I am feeling disloyal. Yeah, things like that are very easy. And then there's more open-ended questions that, you know, might bring out a little more. So lots of different options for people. There's even a place to see if you have shame in your grief. Sometimes we feel like we need to hide it. So lots of different wonderful things. And I make the joke about, I'm so excited about my co-author of this workbook. And people go, who's your co-author? And I go, you. You're writing it with me. It's your story. So it's a wonderful way to really get this out and help you navigate it.
That's wonderful. So I understand you have a check mark, and I think that's great. And I want to talk about this real quick. This came up a few times and I've actually experienced with clients where, in fact, just last week, one of my very good clients, long-term client, his wife calls me and he basically went from being normal to having Alzheimer's all in a few months. I mean, stop paying bills, the whole shot, and you know, all sorts of things. And all of a sudden everybody shows up and they're like, oh my gosh. And she, you know, obviously they were separated for a while, but she is just in this place like, I'm watching the man that I used to love and still love, even though I got divorced, deteriorating really quickly. And I can tell she's having a real tough time with that. And you know what, when you're in the moment like that, how do you know, it's almost one of those like, and I've seen this a few times, how does somebody deal with stuff like that, that somebody that has illness?
Well, you know, there's a couple of things, and I do talk about this in the workbook. There's something called anticipatory grief. That's the grief before the death. And I always tell people with anticipatory grief, you have two things to do. You have to feel it and don't attend the funeral early. They're still here. Don't attend the funeral early. So, you know, with something like Alzheimer's dementia, it's one diagnosis with 100 losses. There's a million losses. The day they can't pay their bills, the day they can't drive anymore, the day they don't know who you are, the day they don't know. I mean, all those are real griefs. And I think one of the things we minimize it by going, but he's still alive. Yes, he's alive, but the person you knew is slowly changing and leaving. And one of the keys, and I'll just give you a really practical one, in supporting people, whether their loved one's alive or dead, is never start a sentence with at least.
Oh.
At least is a minimizing. Oh, at least he's still alive. At least you've got a husband. At least he's not dead yet. At least he doesn't know the pain he's in. Or after someone dies, well, at least they're in a better place. At least they died quick. Here's the thing we don't realize. Grief needs to be witnessed. We want another person to see our pain. So if she calls you and says, oh my gosh, this is so hard. He doesn't know who he is today. Your job isn't to go, at least he's still alive. Your job is to go, wow, that sounds awful. I really hear the pain you're going through. I really see how difficult this is. She wants to be seen, valued, heard, not bright-sided. Let's look on the silver lining. Well, he's still alive. That isn't seeing someone's pain.
I want to say thank you for that because now everybody knows how to better handle that.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, like, even on my website, it's interesting. I see the back statistics, and the most visited page on grief.com is the best and worst things to say to people in grief. Because no one teaches us this.
Mm-hmm.
No one, like I always say, no one gets up in the morning and goes, wow, I'm going to be really mean to a griever today. I mean, no one means to do it. We just haven't been taught.
Yeah. You know what? I was just thinking, because a lot of times I know these people really well and they're going through their crisis and I've been through mine, but I only know how to go through mine.
Correct.
Bursting forward through the wall, and they're going more through the end of, you know, they know the deterioration, and it's hard to have a conversation that can help them. And I appreciate you saying that, because now everybody knows I shouldn't say that.
Right. Well, and one of the questions I always get as a grief expert is, which is the worst grief? Is it a cancer diagnosis? Is it death of a spouse? Is it Alzheimer's, slowly losing someone you love? Is it a pet loss, the pet that was with you day in and day out? Is it a job loss, you can't support yourself? I always go, the worst loss is yours. The one you've got in the moment is your worst loss. Like, I'll never know what it's like to be Steve with cancer or Steve post-cancer. You'll never know what it's like to be David with my losses. You'll never know what it's like to be your client. And so to understand, all we can do is sit with them and be with them. That's all we can do.
That's, you know what? I was just thinking back when you said that, because when I was going through cancer, I had friends, a few would come up and say, how are you doing and stuff like that. But some of my older friends, like the 30-year friends, they were like, you know what? And it's after I was all fine and everything. They're like, they would show up out of randomness and just say, I'm sorry, I just didn't know what to say. And, you know, I was actually more scared to talk to you than anything else.
Let me give you one more technique since you said that. There is the question that's asked the most that doesn't work well. And we go, how are you? Here's why it doesn't work. Because how are you refers to a state of mind. And imagine someone's just got diagnosed with cancer. They just got diagnosed with, Alzheimer's, or their loved one, or their loved one just died. And we say, how are you? Now, I can tell you it's not true now, but decades ago, I used to volunteer with the Red Cross on their aviation disaster team. We would actually go with the family members. The plane just crashed. And you know what we would say? How are you? And the person would go, the plane just crashed. How do you think I am? So how are you is the wrong question. Here's how to fix it instantly. Add a time element. How are you doing, Steve, today? How are you doing right now? How are you doing in this moment, this afternoon, this morning? And the reason why is it helps the person understand you're not in a good place, but I'm checking in on you right now. Then the question works.
I was just thinking about that because the multiple times I was asked after I had cancer and after a brother-in-law passed away and my brother passed away, I always gave a flippant response because I was annoyed by all that. And quite frankly, I've probably been asked that more times than most, but, and it was just like, yeah, I totally get that. So.
Or for someone to go, you know, this must be awful. I have no idea what it's like. And just know I'm here for you and I'm with you. And I'll tell people, it's completely okay to say, I don't have the right words. Just know I'm here with you. I don't know what it's like.
Mm-hmm. Hey, folks, we're going to take a quick break right now. We're going to come right back with more Dave Kessler.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show. We have Dave Kessler here. We're talking about grief with all the stuff that's going on in the world. This has been an outstanding segment. We've got a few more minutes here. We're going to talk to David. So David, you know what? Everybody's heard about journaling. You should journal about this. And you know what? Even I was told to do it. And I'm like, well, what the hell am I going to journal about? So, you know what? I know there's exercises and opportunities. What's the benefit from it? How should somebody look at doing it? That type of thing.
There was a scientist, James Pennebaker, who did studies on people who wrote about their pain they were going through and people who didn't. And the people who wrote actually had so much better results. Everything from blood pressure and everything else got better. Now, I got to tell you, even after this is now my seventh book, I'm not a journaler. I'm not a writer. I have six journals that I began over the years going, all right, I'm going to try to write my journal, and that's it. So journaling is not for everyone. Some people love it. I've at times did a writing through grief and loss trauma class. It's helpful to some. It just isn't right for others. I think that's the reason why I wanted to do a workbook, because I think people sometimes are like, I would write if I knew what to write. But if you were like me, I would sit down and write. I don't know what I'm supposed to write about. Is it my life? Is it my feelings? Is it my work? So I think a workbook is like a really easy entry to that.
So yeah, I kept going like, how do I do this? Because somebody told me to do that.
Right.
You know what? I got to go do something is the way I looked at
right,
it.
Right, right.
In fact, the first time I probably spent an hour looking at the page and writing down, I think it was the date, and that was it. So,
and I got to tell you, I designed this workbook, the Finding Meaning workbook, that literally you could open to any page and do it. You don't have to do it beginning to the end. I mean, it works well that way, but someone could sit down for 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 1 minute, or an hour. Completely, you get to do it your way. And that's the truth about grief, is we all do it our way.
Okay, so I want to start asking some more questions from our listeners. You have a phrase here in the workbook. It's called Warm Heart and Guidance for Releasing Pain. Help us understand that and what people can do. You know, the warm-hearted part, I'm not quite understanding, but could you walk through that a little bit?
You know, it really is about being gentle with people and recognize they go warm-hearted is going at your pace, helping you to do it your way. You know, I think, look, there's wonderful people. I mean, you know, people who have praised my work and book, like Tony Robbins. Tony Robbins is an amazing motivator. Sometimes we need great motivation. Like Tony's motivated me. There's other times we need, in grief, I just need to like open the book and cry. However you do it, you get to do it your way. So there's warm motivation, there's warm, gentle slowdown. So I thought about, I want to meet people where they are to release their pain. You know, I think, you know, when we talk about going to folks, going to therapists, number one, therapists are wonderful. Grief counseling is wonderful. Not everyone can afford one. You can afford to get the book. Not everyone wants to go to a therapist. You can afford to get the book. You know, there's people who grieve well learn to live well. You know, and I think this is helpful in all the ways. And there's many, many teachers out there. And one of the other things I just want to say, especially since this is a show that talks about finances, grief makes logistics harder, and logistics makes grief harder. So I also work with an amazing company called empathy.com that helps people deal often with the financial logistics of life. And they work with a lot of insurance companies to make sure insurance companies are as helpful as they can be to folks after they've had losses in their life.
I'm trying to think that through. So I get that now. I'm sorry, I'm taking time. I'm usually just talking right away. let's see. So besides the book, do you still work with people?
I have an online grief group that is a membership group. And it's not like six people on Zoom. It's hundreds of people. It's 26 different grief groups for the death of a person, whether it's your spouse, your child, your sibling, addiction, murder. I mean, all the things that happen in our lives, 26 different groups. It meets four times a week. And there's a session that works great for Australia. There's sessions work good for the US, for Canada, for the UK. So people realize when they come on how universal grief is. And because it's large, some people want to come on and turn their camera on and share, other people in the background, and we've never even seen them. Everyone does it differently. So that's what I tender hearts, and I do it 4 times a week for people. I also have a grief educator certificate program that I train therapists, coaches, people who work in estate planning, people who, you know, want to be really helpful to folks who are dealing with losses and maybe they intersect with finances. You know, we've had like mortgage brokers who are like, oh my gosh, I'm dealing with so many widows and widowers and how do I help them? So a lot of people go through the Grief Educator Certificate Program. So those are the main ways I intersect with people.
Okay, so the next big question is, how do people get in contact with you other than getting your book at griefbook.com? How do people get in contact with you if they want to be part of become a member, become a coach, or get a grief certificate program? How do they do that?
So they would go to grief.com is the main place they can go to. Tender Hearts is at tenderhearts, plural with an S, and then the word support. Tender Hearts support. Grief Educator is at griefeducator.com. I'm also on social media. My goodness, you can find me at Instagram, even on TikTok. I've just learned how to do TikTok. The same on Facebook. Look for I Am David Kessler and just follow those pages. I Am David Kessler.
Perfect. Perfect. Hey, David, thank you so much for being on our show today. This has been wonderful. I mean, not only for me, but the hundreds of thousands of people who are listening today. I think you've really opened up a lot of people's eyes when it comes to grief, realizing that some of the things they didn't think they were able to, they didn't even think it was grief. Now they're realizing, okay, here I am and what they can do. And now you have this wonderful book that everybody can do, kind of work through it themselves. So thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome. And I just also want to, you know, people can start with that book. You don't have to have read any of my other books. You can start with the workbook. And I also, you know, the thing I'd love to end with is this quote of mine that I often think of is, what we run from pursues us, and what we face transforms us. So I'm here to help people really get through their tough times.
David, thank you so much for being here. Have a great weekend. We appreciate it. And with that, folks, stick with us. We'll be right back with more Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey folks, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, everything under the sun that relates to you having a happier, healthier relationship with money. We had David Kessler talk about grief. Wonderful thing. Many people's grief manifests in multiple other things, spending all sorts of stuff. Hey, you can have a better life by just dealing with that. And you can get Dave's workbook if you don't have a ton of money. And it's at griefbook.com. That's griefbook.com. You can go there. But for my last little segment, I'd like to talk to you and help you work on getting prepared for unpredictable outcomes. So what am I talking about? Well, here in the United States, we all know we have a very large $30+ trillion debt. So we've got staggering debt. And we're beginning to see this across the country where debt is kicked up. Insurance companies are cutting down limits on, you know, credit card limits, all sorts of stuff. We have an unbalanced market with 25% of the growth that's coming out of the S&P is from technical stocks, 40% of growth coming out of the NASDAQ for technical stocks. According to multiple chief global strategists, we've got an overvalued market. We've got global trade disruption, geopolitical instability. Those things are on full display. You see them every day. In addition to that, we take a look at our own economy coming home here. You got companies like Walgreens that have been a staple society for decades, and their sales are going down, and it's not because of the internet sales, because they already had that, and they're closing hundreds of stores. True Value Hardware, big company, been around for years, similar situation. We're seeing Home Depot and Lowe's, people aren't buying the way they used to, and that's my litmus test, okay? Everyday people go to Home Depot all the time. If they're forgoing painting or fixing things, hey, we've got some issues, okay? That's a one big barometer there, okay? Now, saying that, it makes sense to start focusing on how we would go about hedging against a small or against a possible strong market correction. We as a country, as a whole economy worldwide, are more fragile now than at any other time in the last 20 or 30 years. And in fact, I say this in spite of the S&P being up 60% over the last 2 years, and we're seeing almost daily records being set. The reality is the sustainability of your lifestyle is driven by that predictable income. If you have wages, hey, you've got that predictable income unless it goes away. But what it does require if you're retired is for your principal to remain intact. When we're living in irrational times, only rational thinking can help protect our lifestyles. And, you know, I think you and I need to unravel this onion here. And I truly believe it's up to us, you and I, to ensure the next 15, 20, 30, 40 years of our lives are not left up to the unknown, not left to the Federal Reserve change interest rates, because we just saw that. And you know what? The rates got dropped by 0.5%, but hey, the Fed rate went down, then it went back up. So people are still paying higher on interest rates. It also adversely people who purchased bonds over the last couple of months, not left up to the market. And to have to understand, it is up to us, you and I, to create a certain amount of certainty in uncertain times. So here's a couple of questions you want to ask yourself or your advisor. Now, we all hear when the market goes down, the don't worry, you haven't realized the loss because you haven't sold anything yet. And we're hearing from these global strategists saying, hey, this would probably be a good time to capture reward and manage risk. So you might want to be asking yourself or your advisor, hey, how am I or how are you going to capture gains, realize those gains, take those rewards, and begin managing that risk? Think about it. Those are the same advisors who told you in 08, 2000, 2022, hey, you don't realize the loss until you sell it. Big question is, why aren't you capturing reward now and minimizing your risk? Because sometimes, you know what, many people, they've seen a lot of uptick in the last couple of years, and that's wonderful. Many people, it's gotten to the point where they can live the lifestyle that they want. It might be a wonderful time to look at capturing the reward and minimizing risks. And those are the questions you want to ask why, and you want to ask why now. So folks, I do want to thank you for joining us here today on Saving with Steve. I wish you all a happy, prosperous rest of the year, and we'll look forward to seeing you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton.